Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Mitchell of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 5, 2016. It is the fourth month, new moon. Yes. And this is 2020. And we're going to start this service, our second service of this new moon's a Sabbath, with a song entitled Beautiful Valley of Eden.
Beautiful Valley of Eden, sweet is the noontide calm. Over the hearts of the weary, breathing the waves of balm. Beautiful Valley of Eden, home of the pure and blessed. A hawthorn amid the wildflower, I dream of thy rest, sweet rest. Over the heart of the mourner, shineth the golden day, wafting the songs of the angels down from the far away. Beautiful Valley of Eden, home of the pure and blessed. Often amid the wildflower, I dream of thy rest, sweet rest. There is the home of my Savior, there with the blood washed strong. Over the highlands of glory, rolleth the great new song. Beautiful Valley of Eden, the home of the pure and blessed. The hawthorn amid the wildflower, I dream of thy rest, sweet rest.
Kingdom of Heaven, Part 6, we're going to come down. Kingdom of Heaven, come down. Part 6, we're going to continue our studies. Let's go read a little bit more about our new moons. Plural, meaning with an S on the moon, meaning on every new moon. So in... We'll go now to Ezra chapter 3. It says, "And afterwards offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moon and of all the set feasts of the Yahweh that were consecrated, and of everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto Yahweh." That's Ezra 3:5. Let's read the whole chapter of Ezra chapter 3. It says, "And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the city, the people gathered themselves together as one man unto Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the Yahweh of Israel, to offer burnt offerings their own, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of Yahweh. And they set the altar upon its basis, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings their own unto the Yahweh, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according unto the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterwards offered the continual burnt offerings, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Yahweh that were consecrated, and of everyone that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Yahweh. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offering. Now that's on the new moon unto the Yahweh, but the foundation of the temple of the Yahweh was not yet laid. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon and unto them of Tara, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according unto the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, in the second year of their coming unto the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Josedek, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests, and the Levites, and all they that were come out of captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward, to set forward the work of the house of the Yahweh. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Chadamiel, and his sons, the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of Yahweh, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Yahweh, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Yahweh after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Yahweh, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Yahweh, because the foundation of the house of Yahweh was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. So that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of the joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Okay, that's Ezra chapter 3. Now let us go to Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 33. Now let's read the whole chapter of Nehemiah 10. Now it says that now these those that were sealed were Nehemiah, the Teshvatar, the son of Hakaliah, and Zidkiah, and it goes on, and the rest of the chapter, pretty much, down through verse 7, naming all these names that were sealed. And let us go on down now. The whole 10th chapter of Nehemiah names all the people that were sealed. And the rest, and in verse 28, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that have separated themselves from the people of the lands, unto the law of Yahweh, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. Verse 29, Nehemiah 10:29. They played to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in Yahweh's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and to observe and do all the commandments of Yahweh or Elohim, and his judgments and his statutes, and that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, and nor take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. See? On the Sabbath or on the holy day. What's the holy day? the new moon. And that we would leave the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. Also, we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with a third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our Yahweh, for the showbread, for the continual meat offering, and for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbath. You got the S on the Sabbath. That means the seventh day Sabbath of every week, of the new moon, that's every month, for the set feast, and that's your Passover, Pentecost and Atonement, that's your set feast of the year, and for the sin offerings to make an atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of Elohim. And what is the ordinance that sets the feast? It's the new moon. The ordinance of the new moon is what sits the set feast in their place every year. That's Nehemiah 10:33. Nehemiah 10:34. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our Elohim, after the houses of our fathers, and times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of Yahweh or Elohim, as it is written in the law, and to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of Yahweh. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks to bring to the house of our Elohim unto the priest at minister and in the house of our Elohim. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests and to the chambers of the house of our Elohim, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes. And the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our Elohim, unto the chambers, and to the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of the Levites shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers, for are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our Yahweh. Okay, now that's the end of Nehemiah chapter 10. Let's go see what more we have that they have to offer on this, concerning these new moons. Isaiah chapter 1. Let's do the whole chapter. For the vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Yahweh hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. All sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Yahweh, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel, that's Yahshua, his son, unto anger. They are gone away backwards. Now this is talking about the last seed of Israel, and that was Gilead Center. Did you realize that? We never realized that, but the Gilead Center represented the last seed of Israel to be born and raised up unto a rebellious house. So not the last seed of Israel for the continuing on to bring forth a righteous nation, because there is a seed of Israel that is to come forth out of the bowels of the Adventist Church, and that's the 144,000 that's right here in front of us. We're fixing to read about that. So it says, all sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. And Gilead's center was certainly a seed of Israel, of evildoers. So was Ben Roden with his organization, what he called the Ben Rod. And he called it the branch and the Ben Rod, and he called it just anything that came to his mind except the truth. Isaiah 1:5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now, this is such a strange, strange thing. As I was reading this very verse, Isaiah 1:6, from the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it. He's talking to the angel of the candlestick of Laodicea here, Rollis W. Johnson. Because Rollis Johnson fell on hard times there at the end, and he fell and broke his hip, and I had to take and spend 3 weeks living at his house while his wife had to go to the hospital, be hospitalized in another town, left Rollis Johnson all alone, incapable of taking care of himself, and he asked me to move into his house and take care of him 24 hours a day. And so while I was doing that, I took advantage of the fact that he had putrefying sores on his feet. He had swollen feet from his blood sugar problems, because he had a high sugar diet. He had a high sweet diet. And he had candida, and he had diabetes. He had onset diabetes. And yet he wouldn't admit it. And his wife kept feeding him all of that sweet stuff. And it opened up sores all over his feet. And so when his wife was gone for 3 weeks and I was taking care of him, I bound up his sores with gauze and with ointment and with the black salve. And when his wife finally got back after 3 weeks of this, I had nearly all of his sores completely healed up. And he was so proud of me, he showed it to his wife. He said, look what Brother Brunken has done. All these sores I've had all these years, look at here. Just about got them all cleared up. And his wife says, you're going to stop using that salve and that stuff. She says, it ain't going to open up them holes in your feet and those sores. He said, well, I'm closing them up. I'm not opening them up. She said, you're not going to use that no more. So she made him, tuck over and made him quit using that stuff, and those sores come back. So this what this made me think of. he couldn't be bound up. He couldn't be bound up because his wife wouldn't allow it. So that's just, and she was sicker than he was. She just got back from 3 weeks in the hospital, and she was a very sick, sick woman. So anyway, it says in Isaiah 1:7, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage and a vineyard, as a hedge, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Yahweh of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now he's talking to Rollis W. Johnson here. Rollis Johnson was the last remnant of the Seventh-day Adventist church that gave the Adventists one last hope of survival. And then Rollis Johnson failed him. So it says, they did become like Sodom and Gomorrah, because Gilead Center became like Sodom and Gomorrah. And that remnant that came out of her and saved her was the house of David. Okay, Isaiah 1:10. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Said Yahweh. I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of a fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my court? Bring no more vain oblations, incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with, it is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons, I didn't say my new moons, it says your new moon. And your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. Well, that started with Ben Roden. Ben Roden had his own new moons, and he had his own appointed feast, and he appointed them according to the Jewish calendar, not according to the creation calendar, because he didn't have one. Yahweh didn't put him back on true time, and so he used the Jewish Armenian calendar to try to get close to keeping the feast days on the right day, but they were his appointed days. Lourdes Johnson appointed the new moons on the correct time, though. But then, after a while, they become Lourdes Johnson's appointed feast. Because he had backslid from the truth of the sanctuary, was defiling it, trampling it under the truth underfoot and defiling it with his false teaching, false interpretation. Anyway, he, like you were saying, these birthday cakes, he ended up saying that the birthday cakes that you bake for your birthday celebration each year are Yahweh's memorials. He's saying that these are Yahweh's memorials, the birthday cakes. Okay, Isaiah 1:15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse it, though you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Isaiah 1:21. How is a faithful city becoming hearted? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lies in it, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious, and companions of thieves. Every one loveth gifts and falleth after reward. They judge not the fatherless, neither that the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore, saith the Yahweh of hosts, this is talking about the Father, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversary, and avenge me of mine enemy. Actually, this is Yahshua talking here. He's the mighty one of Israel. Yahweh is the Almighty. And Yahshua is the Yahshua of hosts, but they got all capital letters here on this Lord of hosts, and so seem to indicate that they're referring to the Father of hosts, but actually they both are of hosts. They both host the people, the Father and the Son. Okay, it says, therefore, saith the Yahshua. And then he called all capitals the Lord of hosts. The mighty one of Israel. I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. So now the house of David then goes on record as being accounted as this faithful city. And that's sitting upon Mount Zion at the 12th hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas, where the foundation is laid for this. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converse with righteousness. Okay, so Zion is going to be redeemed with judgment, and judgment started at the house of Yahweh 2002, started with the ancient men for the house, and it's coming right on down now to the last, and her converse with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Yahweh shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. For you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall burn, both burn together, and none shall quench them. Okay, that's the end of our prayer thought, actually on the new moons. Let's get right on now into our main thought. We ended up with our last study with Revelation chapter 11. So we're going to pick right up where we left off again, and we're going to go right into Revelation chapter 12. Let's review a little bit there in Revelation chapter 11, where we left off from our last study, and we're going to find something very interesting here. We're going to find out that the Revelation is in chronological order, starting with Revelation 1, clear on into Revelation 22. And these events are going to unfold as we understand what we read. Revelation 11 says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar, and them that worship therein." So now he's talking about the 144,000. That they're the ones that are numbered. They're measured here. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out. So the court represents the world stage of where the Gentiles are at. "And measure it not," in other words, don't number it, "for it is given unto the Gentiles." So the outer court, outside the walls of the sanctuary, is given to the Gentiles. "And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So, John the Revelator, he says, "It is given unto me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple." So he's telling John the Revelator, rise and point out the 144,000 that is to come forth in his temple. But he said, "But the court that represents the Gentiles, the world out there, leave out. Don't fool with it. Don't bother to try to deal with the court. Just deal with the temple." Okay, and the temple is the house of Israel, is the sanctuary service of the house of Israel. And he said, "And the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months." Now, why does it say but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentile, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Who is this they? The Gentiles. That's the reason why John the Revelator says don't measure the Gentiles, because There's not a remnant number there to be reckoned with, because the Gentiles, they are evil outside this temple. These Gentiles out there in the court, they're evil. They're going to tread this holy city underfoot 42 months. So, now we got this 144,000 are the ones that are measured, and they're yet to come on the scene. I've been saying we're into this 42 months now. Yeah, we're into a 42-month period, all right. But this holy city has got to be tread underfoot for 42 months after it is measured and numbered. All right, now let's look at this. It's the Gentiles that tread underfoot 42 months. Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now he's going to give power unto his two witnesses, which is the Old and New Testament scriptures. They're the two olive trees. They're the two candlesticks that stand before the Yahweh of the whole earth. And he said, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. That mathematically equates into 3.5 years or 42 months. Well, that's the 42 months that these Gentiles tread the holy city underfoot. Here in verse 2. All right, now let's go ahead in verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Yahweh of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. So if any man will hurt these two witnesses, then fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. So Obama, he's made war and he's blasphemed the Elohim of heaven. And he's given praise and honor to his God, Allah, which is transvestite. And that represents another name for Satan, Lucifer. Allah. Alright. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So, the death sentence now is upon all of our leaders here of the United States that has rose up and acquiesced and given their power and allegiance to this transvestite incarnate Satan, Obama and company. Okay. So, if any man will hurt them, and Obama is the first one that's led out to hurt them, there's two witnesses, represents the Old New Testament scriptures. This country was founded upon Christian principles and the King James Bible. This country was founded on the King James Bible, the one I'm reading from now. And Obama has come along repudiating all of the principles of the Constitution that's founded upon Christian principles, what they call the far-reaching principles of the statutes of Moses, what they call the Constitution. All right. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Okay, these two witnesses, the Old and New Testament, has in his prophecy that it can rain not in the days of their prophecy. So we're in the days of the prophecies of these two witnesses right now. And have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So in the prophecy of Zechariah 14, it says this will be the plague that will be upon the mule and upon the people as in these tents, those that came against Jerusalem, and all those that were left of the nations that came up against Jerusalem that they personally didn't come up. And if they come not up and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles with the rest of the remnant, then on them will be no rain, and this will be the plague that I will put upon them. Well, this prophecy is being fulfilled right now because there is a plague put on all the Muslims that have come against Jerusalem or that hate Israel, all the way from northern Africa, Libya, clear through Turkey, and all the way through those Muslim countries in all of Asia and all of the Middle East of Israel. That those Muslims that have taken over all those Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and South Yemen and you name it, they have been afflicted with a scab and an itch. Okay. Now it says in Revelation 11:7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. When they shall finish their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So what I just read in verse 7 says, and when they, these two witnesses, shall have finished their testimony, the beast, Obama and company, that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. So when did this beast ascend out of the bottomless pit? In 2008, when Obama took his first year of his presidential reign. And what did he do? He made an assault upon the Constitution of the United States, which represents the two witnesses. Christian principle that represents the Bible's principle of these two witnesses, the Old and New Testament. He made war on the King James Bible. And he blasphemed the Yahweh of heaven. And he used the King James Bible to blaspheme Yahweh, the author of the King James Bible. The author and the Elohim of the heavens and universe, he blasphemed and using Yahweh's own words. And so it says, make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So war was declared on these two witnesses in 2009 when Obama took his first year of his presidency, and he continued it for 42 months. And then it says in Revelation 13 that this beast, this dragon, had power let's read it, Revelation 13. And it says, in verse 6 and 7, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed against Yahweh, this is Obama, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him, Obama, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is Obama. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Okay, now it says in verse 4 of Revelation 13, and they worshiped the dragon, Satan, which gave power unto the beast, Obama, and they worshiped the beast, Obama, saying, who is like unto this world leader, Obama? Who is able to make war with him? He has the keys to our Treasury Department. He has the keys to our War Chest Department. Matter of fact, he has the secrets to our nuclear red button there at Washington, D.C. He's given the secrets of our nuclear connections around the world. So he's the one that's in charge of the secrets and has the authority to punch that red button if he needs to in an emergency to annihilate his enemies with nuclear power. So that's what we're looking at. The president has this power. He has the ultimate power of all nations, of all power. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? The way you give power unto the beast is that you make him president, and you give him all of the secrets and the combination of the nuclear powers that are connected up to a red button. And all the president do is have to press that red button to deploy all this nuclear power that this arsenal that he has at his fingertips. And to do this around the world. All right? Now this is something that we need to understand very closely. So now we go back to Revelation chapter 11. It says, and their dead bodies shall lie on the street, at verse 8, of the great city, spiritual Babylon, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. This is mystery Babylon, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Well, the Muslims are running spiritual Babylon, and their god is Allah, which is a transvestite, male and female. Okay. For also our Savior was crucified. And here the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. So all the nations are going to witness Obama treading down our Constitution, treading down the Christian principles that this country was founded on, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. Okay, so those that dwell here in the United States upon the earth and prophecy is the United States proper, so those that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over these two witnesses and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Ha 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 ha. So these two witnesses, the Old New Testament Bible, the King James, tormented these Muslims and these transvestites and these here Sodom and Gomorrahites that come in here and overrun our land with a scourge. And so whenever they finally repudiated our Constitution and took prayer out of our schools and trampled the Constitution underfoot and says you cannot even mention Yahweh, or you can't mention God or Jesus in these school class. The other day, a little 7-year-old boy had taken some scriptures, handwritten scriptures, to school with him. His mother wrote them out and put them in his lunch pail. And at lunchtime, he was handing them out to his friends, these Bible scriptures, and his little 7-year-old friends were reading them and taking them to the teacher and saying, look, I didn't know this was in the Bible. Did you know that this is what the Bible says? The teacher turned them in to the authorities, and the authorities sent a policeman out to this boy's home and to warn his mother to stop writing these notes and send them to school by this little boy, or he's going to have to be kicked out of school. Because they're not going to tolerate him proselyting his religion to his fellow students, little 7-year-olds, in class. So it says, because these two prophets tormented them. So, just the reading of a Bible scripture by a 7-year-old in a second or third grade classroom, it torments them. It alarms them. We can't allow this. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of the life from Elohim entered into them. That's 3.5 years. Obama's got 6 months left on his last 3.5 years that he's given power. And it says so in Revelation 13. He said he had power to continue on for 42 months. After his first term was up with, said he had 42 months to continue on. He had power to do that. And he's in the last 6 months now, this 42 months that he had to continue on. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of the life from Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory unto the Elohim of heaven. The second war is past, and behold, the third war cometh quickly. Okay. Now, what is this talking about? George Washington had a vision. Back in about 1777, he saw three woes come upon this country. Could it be these same woes that we're reading about here in Revelation 11? And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from Yahweh entered into them, these two witnesses, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. So we have now Donald Trump is resurrecting these two witnesses. And he's a presumptive nominee for the Republican presidency, to run for president. And he is resurrecting these two witnesses. And when they stand upon their feet, great fear is going to fall upon Obama and all of his henchmen, Hillary Clinton and all of her henchmen, and all the evil people that have supported them and put them in power. Great fear is going to fall upon them. As a matter of fact, they are in great fear and consternation right now. And they're doing everything they can to suppress and try to destroy Donald Trump in any way they possibly can get rid of him. They have tried everything in the world, and so far nothing has worked. Everything turns against them on that. Verse 12, Revelation 11. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory unto the Elohim of heaven. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. The seventh trumpet, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Savior, of our Yahweh Elohim, and of his Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before Elohim on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped Yahweh. Okay. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Yahweh Elohim Almighty, that's talking about the Father, which art and wast and art to come. So here's this art to come. When heaven comes down, it's time the kingdom of heaven come down. Because thou hast taken unto thee thy great power and hast reigned. So when does the kingdom of heaven come down? At the time that this 42 months is over, and these two witnesses stand upon their feet, their resurrection, stand upon their feet, and great fear falls upon their enemies that saw them. And when they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Okay. And then it says, in the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the Elohim of heaven. Alright? Saying, we give thee thanks, O Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken unto thee thy great power and hast reigned. Okay. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name shall, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Okay, and now he says that it is time to give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, that's your 144,000, and those that were converted unto them, their Gentile brethren, and those that was raised from the dead, that was judged righteous to come from the grave. And so he's going to give reward unto all of these, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So at the time he raises these people all up and brings them together and gives them the reward, then he destroys all the wicked, starting with their leaders. And the nations were angry, and the wrath has come. Okay, so, and the nations were angry, and the wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Okay. Verse 19, and the temple of Yahweh was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. So that's where the judgment took place, where the ark of his testament was. And there were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. So the ark of his testament has the Ten Commandments under the mercy seat in it, and it has the law of Moses in the side pockets of the ark of that testament there in heaven. And what did it say there in Deuteronomy, I think it's 31, that those that the book of the law of Moses put in the side pocket of the ark? What was the reason for that? Be a witness against them in the latter days. Let's go and read that. We're getting close to the end of our study. I believe it's 31. Let's see here. Now therefore write ye this song for you. This is in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 31. And teach it the children of Israel, put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Okay. So now it says that in verse 27, for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious. Have been is past tense expression. He says, you have been rebellious. Okay, that was the 40 years in the wilderness. They had rebelled a whole 40 years, those that's 20 years and older, except Joshua and Caleb. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against Yahweh, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil shall befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Yahweh to provoke them to anger through the works of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of the song until they were ended. Now isn't this amazing? Song of Moses recorded there in Deuteronomy 31 as a witness against the children of Israel in the latter days. And then we go to Revelation here, where we're at in the latter days. And it says there in Revelation 15, it says, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of the Yahweh. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with the fire. And there's your judgment scene. And then they had gotten the victory over the beast, over Obama, and over his image. That's his governmental policy. And over his mark, which is the mark for the Obamacare health insurance, and over the number of his name. The number of his name was 666. And it says in Revelation 13, it's the number of a man. And it's three, he that hath wisdom, they count the number of the beast. So you count this, you count that leopard-like beast came out of the sea, that had the seven heads and the ten horns on it. Then Revelation 13, that's number one beast. That's your first six. The little two-horned beast that came up in the earth, Revelation 13:11. And then the scarlet-colored beast that come up in the wilderness, in the earth. And that's in the United States, and that's in Revelation 17. There's your three beasts, 666. Okay, that are involved in this here bringing forth the image of the beast. These three beasts makes up this image of the beast, of that fourth beast that Daniel saw in vision representing pagan Rome 2,000 years ago. These last three beasts are just a composite and a continuation of that fourth beast in three different phases. The leopard-like beast, Revelation 13, 1 to 5. The lamb-like beast, the two-horned beast, Revelation 13, 11. And then that beast, scarlet-colored beast, Revelation 17. Those are the three beasts that are different phases of that fourth beast that Daniel saw in vision of pagan Rome that rules over all the earth. And then he says, and over the number of his name that stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of Yahweh. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Yahweh Elohim Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Yahweh, and glorify thy name? For thou art only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Okay. So, let us continue now. We just like a couple of minutes, or 1 minute, to bring this to a close. So we're going to bring this study to a close, but guess what we're going to do? We're going to continue this study, and our next study, immediately, we're going to get right on into it. We're going to pick up at the starting with Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to take it step by step through Revelation 16 up to Revelation 17. Revelation is in chronological order, and so therefore you're in for a treat, because 144,000 will be the next thing on the scene after Revelation 13 is explained once again, which I explained part of it just now. Then Revelation 14 follows. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, by the light of day. Oh, God, often have pity. After the pillars of the river, the hill. Many times the Spirit tried to draw me, and so many times I would not let go. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, draw me. Now I am ready for my heart to fill with joy. The pleasures of this world are behind me. Draw me now, Holy Spirit, take me home. Many times I twisted through weary, each step an imitation. Thank you.
the blood.